What a blessing to be together. If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 4. It's so good to come and celebrate the birth of our Savior. We know he wasn't born exactly on December 25th, but we know that our Lord was born and our Lord God gave us a Savior, the Lamb of God. So we're so grateful for that. And it's good to celebrate that. We find ourselves now in Romans chapter 4, verses 18 to 25. As you know, the whole chapter of Romans 4 is about Abraham and how he was justified by faith in the Lord, by trusting the Lord and trusting the promises that the Father gave him. We find ourselves now in Romans chapter 4. We want to continue with Abraham regarding his faith. In Romans chapter 4, verses 18 to 25. Let's read that together. It says in Romans chapter 4, verse 18, it says, "In hope against hope, he believed so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. Not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited, as those who believe in him, whom raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification." And so what we find here is the final conclusion that Paul comes up with when it comes to Abraham. Abraham was not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in the Lord. He believed what God had spoken to him, specifically that through him all the families of the earth will be blessed, and that his descendants will be as the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea. Well, let's bow our heads in prayer and ask God to bless us as we go through these verses together. Father, thank you so much that we can be together. We're so grateful, dear Father, as we study that no man or woman is ever justified by their own works, by their own righteousness. Father, we know that we are sinful. And we know that we need a Savior. We need righteousness that comes from you alone. And for that reason, you sent our Lord Jesus into this world. He came, he suffered, and he died. But Lord, we thank you that he rose again, showing that we have been justified. We ask now for your grace and understanding. I pray, Father, you would strengthen your sheep. Feed your sheep, dear Father. And I ask that you would allow me to be your messenger this morning. We beseech you, we thank you, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. And so we have been studying about Abraham and justification. As you know, when Abraham put his trust in what God had spoken to him, God imputed his righteousness on Abraham. And of course, we see that God took his sin. And that's what happens when a person puts their trust in Jesus as Savior. Our sin is imputed on Christ on the cross, and his perfect, holy righteousness is put into our account. We are accredited, as it puts it here in the NESB. And we are now declared righteous. That is our legal standing. And right along with that, there is sanctification. We are made holy, aren't we? We find that that Abraham was saved again through faith in the Lord. It's not just faith in faith. It's faith in the Lord. The substance of your faith is so important. And we are saved by our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Back then, they looked forward to the Savior. We look back. We now see a Savior crucified, buried, and resurrected. We find now that Paul is kind of putting the final nail into this argument regarding Abraham's faith. Abraham's faith. And I want you to see something here. First of all, you have your bulletins there. And I want to say three things about Abraham's faith. Number one, Abraham's faith was in the promise of God. God gave him a promise that through him all the families will be blessed. God promised that Abraham would be the father, for he would go from exalted father to the father of many, and he would be the father of many nations. And second of all, we learn that Abraham believed God, knowing God is able to fulfill his word and the omnipotence of the Lord. And finally, we see in verses 23 to 25 that the Lord not only provides salvation by his imputed righteousness on Abraham, but even for those who will come to faith in the Lord, those who would come after Abraham, God's providence. Let's look at the first part here when it comes to God's promise. And Romans chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, it's really important that we see this. In Romans chapter 4, verse 18, it says this. In hope, against hope, he, that was Abraham, believed. He believed what God had told him, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken. And what did the Lord say? So shall your descendants be. Talking about the stars. Verse 18, without becoming weak in faith, what had happened to Abraham? He contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. That means Sarah was about 90. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. What is so significant about this? We learn that Abraham believed even though the odds were impossible. Isn't that true? Abraham believed. Not only did he believe, but he became strong in faith. Now, the question is, how can this be? How can Abraham, being a man, have such great faith? Where did it come from? Did he just conjure it up in his flesh? Where does faith come from, beloved? Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, is a gift of God. Where does it begin? With God's sovereign grace. You understand that? Even your faith is a gift of God. Where did Abraham get this? Did he somehow conjure it up in his flesh? Not at all. It was given to him as a gift of God. And so we learn here that Abraham's faith to believe against all odds was a gift of grace that God gave him, even though his circumstances seemed impossible. And yet Abraham believed the Lord. We have to understand this. Remember when Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Remember what Jesus said to Peter? "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." Remember that when it comes to salvation, even the faith that you have has been given to us by God. Remember Lydia on the outskirts of Philippi? The Bible says that Paul and Silas went to Philippi. Remember that? And it was a Roman colony. They didn't even have a temple there. And so they went to the outskirts of Philippi. And what did Paul do? He saw some women there worshiping. And Paul began to share the gospel. And there was a woman named Lydia. She was a woman that basically was a dyer of purple. And it says that God opened her heart. Do you understand how you and I are saved? God opens our heart. God gives us even the faith to believe. And that's exactly what happened with Abraham. It was God's grace. Isn't it what Paul wrote in Romans, that God's going to have mercy and whom he's going to have mercy? It is an act of God. Go with me to Mark chapter 9. Remember this, the man with the child that was, I believe he was demon-possessed. Go with me to Mark chapter 9, verse 14. I thought this was really interesting. We learned that when Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, the disciples were with this man who brought his son to them. In Mark chapter 9, verse 14, we see that the disciples couldn't heal this young man. Mark chapter 9, verse 14 says, "And when they came back, they came down from the mountain. When they came back to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and some scribes arguing with them. Immediately, when the entire crowd saw him, they were amazed and began running up to him, And he asked them, 'What are you discussing with them?' And one of the crowd answered him, 'Teacher, I brought you my son possessed with the spirit, which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and stiffens out. And I told you disciples to cast it out, and they could not do it.'" And Jesus is not very encouraged. Verse 19, "And he answered them and said, 'O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me.' They brought the boy to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into convulsions, and falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' And he said, 'From childhood. It was often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us.'" You want to make sure you turn off that? Thank you. Verse 23. "And Jesus said to him, 'If you can, all things are possible to him who believes.'" And I really like this. I mean, Mark's the only one that records this. The honesty of this father. He brought the boy to the disciples. He probably took him to other people. And verse 24, we see the man's confession. "Immediately the boy's father cried out," and he said what? He says, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." I like this because I see the honesty there. The man is saying, "I believe, Lord, but I need more faith. Help my unbelief." Did God help him? Did Jesus help him? Yes, he did. He did. "And when Jesus saw the crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, 'You deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again.' After crying out and throwing him into a terrible convulsions, it came out, and the boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said, 'He is dead.'" Okay. We get that squared away? Sorry. Verse 27, "But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him, and he got up. And when he came into the house, his disciples began questioning him privately, 'Why could we not drive him out?' And he said to them, 'This kind cannot come out by anything but prayer.'" And of course, in another passage, he says, "Because of your unbelief." And so even the disciples were waning in their faith. Beloved, where does faith come from? The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The word of God, specifically the word of Christ. And so we learn here then that when you think of Abraham and you look at great men of faith, you think of even Noah himself. And it was a time where no one had seen rain before, and yet Noah found the faith to build an ark. You know how long Noah was building that ark? 120 years. Being mocked and ridiculed. What gave Noah that type of faith and strength? It was given to him by God's grace, beloved. By God's grace. Even Sarah herself, when the angel came to Sarah and said that you're going to have a baby next year, Even Sarah herself laughed. Remember that? And the angel said, why did Sarah laugh? She goes, oh, I didn't laugh. Because it was against all odds. But let me tell you something. When God says something, you can take it to the bank. When God says it, not when I say it, because I'm just a human being. And we know that we can trust God completely. Go with me to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You guys know this proverb. One of my dad's favorite proverbs. What does it say here in Proverbs? I want to encourage you to memorize this passage. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, how are we to trust God? Completely. With all our hearts. And it tells us even to do something further. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says this. Proverbs 3, 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's a lot, isn't it? When I tell somebody something and I say, I believe this with all my heart, that is saying a lot. I am trusting God with all my heart. That's saying a lot. And that's how the Lord wants us to have faith. When you come to the Lord in faith, you need to believe with all your heart. When you trust in Christ, it needs to be with all of your heart. Even when we worship, beloved, we need to worship with all our heart. And here, we see the author is writing, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And what's the second thing? Do not lean on your own understanding. We need to believe God's word more than even our circumstances. We need to believe God. Because if we look at our circumstances all the time, you know what's going to happen? Our faith is going to be weak. We need to trust God with all our heart. We need to not lean on our own understanding, verse 6, but in all our ways acknowledge Him, and He will make our path straight. Really important. And so, beloved, this is an act of God. When Abraham heard the promise of the Lord, he believed God, and I believe with all his heart. Again, where did he get that faith from? It was by God's grace. Let me ask you something. Are you asking God for more faith? Did you know the disciples, you know, you think, oh, these are great men. They asked for more faith. Go with me to Luke chapter 17. Remember this? In Luke 17, go with me to the book of Luke. You know, we need to trust God more, don't we? We need to trust God more. The reason why we make sometimes foolish decisions and foolish mistakes is because we're trusting in our own flesh sometimes rather than doing the right thing. In Luke chapter 17, remember verses 3 and let's look at verse 3 through 5. Well, let's start at verse 1. Luke 17, verse 1. He said to his disciples, it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he would cause one of these little ones to stumble. That's someone that hurts God's people, isn't it? And then he says in verse 3, be on your guard if your brother sins. See that? What do? We rebuke him. You want to do it lovingly. You want to do it, you know, you want to help him. Rebuke him. And if he repents, what are we supposed to do? We're to forgive them. That sounds pretty cut and dry, doesn't it? What if they keep on doing it? What if they keep on sinning against us? Verse 4, and if he sins against you 7 times a day and returns to you 7 times saying, I repent, Jesus says, forgive. Now, this is what they call hyperbole, isn't it? He's saying, okay, if he keeps sinning, but he keeps coming and repenting, we need to forgive. We need to always have a forgiving heart. And what is the response to the apostles, of the apostles, verse 5? And the apostles said to the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. You see, beloved, you and I, we need to trust the Lord more. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted into the sea, and it would obey you. And so, beloved, I just want you to understand that one of the things that we need to keep growing in, right, is not only our love for the Lord and our obedience to the Lord, but we also need to be growing in our faith. And that's why we spend time in the Word, we spend time in fellowship. But there are times where we need to say, Lord, please give me more faith, give me more trust. One of the reasons why God allows us to have trials is to trust Him more. God is, remember, molding in us the image of Christ. And we see the book of James, count it all joy, brethren, when we fall into many trials, right? Knowing that God is, he's perfecting our faith. He's causing us to have perseverance. Do you remember the last time he asked God to give you more faith? I don't know about you, but we need more trust, don't we? Don't forget that when you and I go through trials, the prayer isn't, Lord, take me out of this trial. Maybe the prayer is, Lord, give me more faith. Lord, give me more trust. Maybe that's the right prayer. Because I think God wants to get us through things. And so when it came to Abraham himself, remember that God gave him this faith. It was by his grace. Go back with me to Romans. So Abraham was a great man of faith, and we believe God was the one that gave it to him. Look at verse 20 to 22 of Romans chapter 4. He goes on to say that even though Abraham himself was about 100 years old and Sarah was about 90, he still believed the word of the Lord. Look at verse 20 to 22. And being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. And so we find then that one of the reasons why Abraham had such strong faith is, number one, God gave it to him. But second of all, Abraham believed that God was able. Do you understand, beloved, that when you pray, and I don't know how you pray, but I know that when I pray, I'm always saying, Lord, if that is your will. You know why? Because I don't question his power. I don't question God's power. God can do anything he chooses to do. It's always a matter of his will. And so we see here, beloved, that when it comes to God's answer to prayer, it's always whether this is God's plan, God's purpose, and God's will. Let me tell you, those three things are perfect because God is perfect, right? Go with me to Luke chapter 5, would you? Remember the leper in Luke chapter 5? Luke is the only one that mentions that this man who has leprosy is in advanced stages of leprosy. The man is about to die. In Luke chapter 5, look at verse 12. Luke chapter 5, verse 12. Jesus was calling the first disciples, and who knows where this man heard about the Lord. But in his desperation, he should have cried out, unclean, but he didn't. I think the man knew he was in his last days of life. And it says in Luke chapter 5, verse 12, while he, Jesus, was in one of the cities, behold, there was a man, see that word, covered with leprosy. The man was in advanced stages of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, what did he do? He fell on his face and imploring him. And I love what he says to the Lord. And he says, Lord, what does he say? If you are willing. Is that how you and I pray? That's how we ought to pray. God can do anything. But we need to say, Lord, if this is your will, if this is your plan, if this is your purpose, if this will give you the glory, then Father, that's what we want. Because the truth is, beloved, sometimes we pray and it may not be God's will. It may not be according to his plan or his purpose. We don't always know. But here comes this man in such humility, goes on his face, and he says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He believed in the ability of Christ to heal him. And what did Jesus say? Verse 13, and he stretched out his hand and he touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. And he ordered him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Isn't that amazing? And I want you to understand that one of the reasons why Abraham, not only did he have faith that was given to him by God's grace, but he knew that what God had promised, that God is able to fulfill it. He believed in the omnipotence of God, that God was almighty. And so when you and I, when we pray, we don't question whether God can do it or not. But will he do it? Is it his will? I prayed for so many people, and you have to be very careful, especially when a person is going through trials and tribulations and sicknesses and so forth. You can't just say, Lord, just heal that person. What if it's not God's will? What if it's God's will for that person to go through what they're going through? You have to be careful. We can't demand anything on God. Who are we? We're dust. But when we come to the Lord, we need to be like this man. We need to have this mindset. We come to God very humbly and thankfully and say, Lord, if it is your will, Father, we know that you can heal that person. We know that you can touch that person. We know that you can save that person. And yet, Father, we want your will. We want your glory. And here, did Jesus help this man? Absolutely. What a great attitude. What an attitude we need to have when it comes to prayer. Go with me to Matthew 15. Remember the Canaanite woman? They call the Syrophoenician woman or the Canaanite woman. In Matthew 15, we see that she comes to Jesus after hearing about his great reputation and all that he's done. And she comes to him in Matthew 15, verse 21. Remember this? And it says here in Matthew 15 that this woman, we see Jesus went up north to get away from all the crowds in Galilee. But he couldn't escape because he was so popular. They went out to kind of, you know, recoup and to be refreshed. And here comes this woman crying out after them. In Matthew 15, verse 21, Jesus went away and there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. That's northwest by the coast. I believe it's modern-day Lebanon out there. And a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, have mercy on me. What did she call him? Lord, Son of David. This woman was, I believe, a proselyte of Judaism to understand who Jesus was. She says, have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. And he did not answer. He did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, send her away because she keeps shouting at us. It shows you that the disciples had a long ways to go when it came to their compassion. It does. It kind of shows you a little bit of carnality there. Verse 24. And he begins to test this woman, doesn't he? And he answered and said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She's not of Israel. And she came and she, you know, instead of turning away and saying, okay, I understand. And instead of doing that, because of her love for her daughter and because she knew that Jesus had the power and the ability, she was not deterred. But she came, verse 25, and she began to bow down before him saying, Lord, help me. Do you think she believed that Jesus was able? Oh, you know she did. You know she did. And now he tests her again, doesn't he? And he answered and said, it's not good to take the children's bread, talking about the children of Israel, and throw it to the dogs. Dogs mean little puppies, pets. Verse 27, she said, yes, Lord. But even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table. You know what she's saying to Jesus? I'm not giving up. Lord, I'm looking for a crumb. Just give me a crumb. What is Jesus' response? Jesus said to her, woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once. What do these people have in common? They know that Jesus had the ability. He has the power. He has the authority. Beloved, when you come to God in prayer, we don't question his power and his authority. It's whether it's God's will. If it's his will. So this woman, she was not giving up. You know why? She couldn't give up. You know why? Number one, because she loved the daughter. But you know why? Where else is she going to go? Who is she going to go to? There's nobody else. Isn't that the way it is when it comes to salvation and forgiveness? Where are you going to go to save your soul? To whom are you going to go? Isn't that what Peter said? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. There is nobody else to go to. Jesus has the power and the ability. And she's saying, Lord, I'm not going anywhere. Beloved, when we pray, just like Abraham, he believed that what God had promised, God is able to do. And so he says, I'm believing that. Even though my body tells me you're old, you're 100 years old, and my wife, and we're past the time of giving birth, but God, if you said it, I believe it. And there was a time where Abraham and Sarah were not having a baby, right? And so Sarah said, hey, well, maybe God's not going to use me. Why don't you take my servant Hagar? And you would think that Abraham said, oh no, woman, you're the only one for me. But that's not the way it happened, you know? That's not what happened. He was a little too, okay, if you just, Hagar. And so they had Ishmael. Remember that? And then God said, oh, that Ishmael will stand before you. And God said, no. See, Ishmael is not the son of the promise. Isaac was a miraculous child. Miraculous. Child of the promise. He said, it's going to be through Sarah. God recognized Abraham's marriage to Sarah. It's going to be through Sarah. He would be the one. And so even though Abraham was up there in years, God still blessed him. In fact, even after Sarah passed away, he got another woman named Keturah. Had more kids. Healthy men. So, you know, God blessed him. But it was through Isaac, wasn't it? Abraham knew that God was able. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that God is able? He is. He's able. And so when we pray, we want his will. We ask for his will. And sometimes I would picture myself in prayer and I think of this Canaanite woman and I'll say, Lord, just give me a crumb. Just looking for a crumb. And you know what? God is so gracious, isn't he? Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. God is the one that delivers and saves. And you know what? He's the one even who preserves us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 23. 1 Thessalonians, right before 1 Timothy. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. What does it say there? It says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 says, now may the God of peace himself do what? Sanctify you entirely. Isn't that interesting? Do you know that the moment that you are born again and saved, that you are sanctified? That means that you're set apart, you're made holy. We talked about this on Friday night. We talked about sanctification. Did you know that not only does God sanctify your soul, but he'll sanctify your body? Someday we will have a perfect resurrected body. And so here Paul is thinking about, I'm sure he's thinking about the resurrection. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be what? Preserved, complete, without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then I love verse 24. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will also bring it to pass. Why did Abraham believe God? Because God is faithful. We can bank on his word. I'd rather believe God's word than man's word. We can believe God's perfect word. And Abraham, not only did God give him the faith by his grace, but the Bible says that he even began to grow in his faith, right? He knew that God, who had promised him, is faithful and he is able. Do you understand why it's so important for us to meditate on God's promises? Why it's so important for us to be in God's word? Because we know that God is able to fulfill his promises, isn't he? That's why it's so important. We're in the word all the time. We're in the word. We meditate on the word. When you have the worst day of your life, meditate on God's word and God's promises. You know what's going to happen? You're going to be strong because your name is written in heaven. And it's so important that we meditate on God's promises and God's word. And let me tell you, this is where I get strength from. When I see God's word and God's promises to me, I'm so thankful for them. Finally, let's go back to Romans chapter 4. And we see that when it came to Abraham's faith, it was given to him. It was given to him as a gift. We learned that God had mercy upon him. We also believe that, see that Abraham not only believed God, but he knew that God is able to fulfill his word. Look at verse 23 to 25. This is not just written for Abraham. Look at verse 23. Romans chapter 4, verse 23. Now, not for his sake only was it written. See that? That was credited to him. That's the word we use for imputed, right? But for our sake. Paul is writing this even for the readers. This passage, but he's saying even that what's been recorded is for our sake also, to whom it will be credited as those who believe in him, whom raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over because of our transgressions, and was raised because of our justification. Another way of translating that is as a result of our justification. We have to understand that when Jesus died on the cross, his final words were, "It is finished." It is finished. And so we have to understand that when Christ died, he paid in full on the cross. And yet we know that the grave could not keep him down. And as a result of our justification, our Lord Jesus, he rose from the dead. Why is that so important? Because what if Jesus stayed in the grave? Then he couldn't be truly who he was, right? But he couldn't stay in the grave because he is God Almighty. And in power, he resurrected, proclaiming himself once again as the Son of the living God. He couldn't stay in the grave. And so it's so important when it comes to the resurrection. And remember that when Jesus paid, he paid it all on the cross. The faith of Abraham was written and recorded, not just for his sake, but for those who would come to believe, like us. Go with me to Hebrews 11, would you? Hebrews 11. And you know, Hebrews 11 is a hall of faith, isn't it? These are all the great heroes of the faith, not exhaustively. But we learn that God has given us a recording of many of these men, like Abraham and even before that, Noah. Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 32. The author of Hebrews says this, Hebrews 11:32, "And what more shall I say, for time would fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith, what did they do? Conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword from weaknesses, were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection, and others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, and chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword, they went about in sheepskins and in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in the deserts and in the mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these have gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, not yet, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses," talking about these men he just talked about, "surrounding us, these great heroes of faith that went before us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself." And here's the reason for all this: "so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." You wonder, why were these things recorded? Why were these people recorded, and their faith and their heroic deeds and even Christ and what he went through? What's the reason God has recorded all this? To encourage us, to strengthen us, to continue to walk by faith and to endure when we grow weary, when you want to give up, right? When you want to give up, wait a minute. Didn't great men of faith go through this too? Didn't they endure? And so, beloved, we're not to grow weary, but we're to grow strong. God is able, and he's almighty. And we're not to lose heart and throw in the towel, but trust God. And when we pray, understand that it's never a matter of God's power. It's a matter of God's will, beloved. Lord, if you are willing, Lord, I'm just asking for a crumb, right? And you know what? God is good. God will act according to his purpose, his perfect purpose, his perfect plan, and his perfect will. We can trust God. See, that's the problem here. We don't always trust God. Have you ever been in a situation where something happens? You're like, God, I don't understand why you allowed that. It's not always for us to understand, beloved, but for us to trust him. And I've been in a situation where something happened, and I'm like, I say, Lord, I don't understand why you allowed my friend to go through that. And you know what? And I said, Lord, but I believe that your plan is perfect. And your purpose is perfect. I believe that whatever you do is right and good. And you know what happened? I had peace. Because I can trust God, and so can you. We're not always going to understand, beloved. I mean, how many of you really understand the Trinity? Do you? It's up here for me. It's like Jesus is God and he's 100% man. I can't understand that, but it's true. God in three persons? I can't comprehend that, yet it's true. And so, beloved, we have to trust God. And that's what Abraham did. When God gave him that promise, he said, I'm looking at my circumstances, but I believe what you're saying is going to happen. And all these things were recorded for us, wasn't it? We could have been without a Bible. Can you imagine? That would be hard. But God gave us, not only did he give us a record for us, many of the things that took place to show his character, to show his faithfulness and his love and his righteousness. That's why we cling to the word. God records all these things, all these heroes of the faith to encourage us, to strengthen us. That's what Romans says. Go with me to Romans 15. Romans 15, go back with me there. Look at verses 1 through 6. In Romans 15, Paul is dealing with some fractures that are taking place in the church, between many of them being Jews and others Gentiles, and they're fighting among each other. And he says here in Romans 15, verse 1, "Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves." The Christian life is not about pleasing ourselves. The Christian life is about pleasing others, specifically pleasing God. Verse 2, "Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, for his edification." In other words, building up. Listen to this. Verse 3, "For even Christ did not please himself." Isn't that amazing? Christ is here to give glory to the Father. "Even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was," there's that word again, "whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." Do you see another reason why God's given us the written record of Abraham? Not only so that we will not lose heart, not only so that we would endure, but that we will have hope. God has given us the written record. And so that we may have hope. And so, beloved, it's important that we understand how much time we need to spend in the Word of God and meditate on it. Even John himself says, "These things I've written so that you may believe," right? John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. Go with me to Psalm 78. I want you to see what David says. Go with me all the way to Psalm. Why has God given us written records of these things? And I know some of you, you know, I encourage people to read through the Bible, but you know, when you get into the book of Leviticus and Numbers, you're like, man, you're in the desert with them, aren't you? You're like, oh, this is hard. But we still need to read through it, right? God gave us those records. And then when you go through all the genealogies, you can barely pronounce those names, and it's kind of hard. But God has given us those written records. It's still the Word of God. We still have to get through them. Psalm 78, verses 1 to 7. Listen to what I believe the sons of Asaph, or the Maskil of Asaph, listen to what he says. Psalm 78, verses 1 through 7. "Listen, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. And I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers," this is important, "our fathers have told us. We will not conceal them from our children." What is he talking about? He's talking about all the things that his forefathers had taught them and all the things they have gone through. "We will not conceal them from our children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength to his wondrous works that he has done." For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children. Verse 6, that the generation to come might what? Might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. One of the reasons God has given us a written record, you have to understand that before Moses wrote, you know how they kept record? It was verbal. Can you imagine? Before the Gospels were even written, you know that the apostles were verbally teaching people about Jesus? And then they finally recorded them, like 20 years later, they recorded Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But it was a custom that the way they shared history with their children or with disciples was all verbal. And so here, God has given us a written record so that not only do we learn and are encouraged and our confidence is in the Lord and we do not lose heart and we have hope, but we are to tell others as well. And we tell others of the promises of God and the wonderful things that God has done. You know, I love sharing with my children how God answers my prayers. I do. My wife and I, we talk to our children all the time. I talk to my children. There was a time when I was a little boy, and I was in fifth grade, and I was going to get beat up by these two bullies in school. And I was there, and I began to pray, and it was going to be 2 o'clock, and the bell was going to ring, and I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. These boys are going to beat me up. And I just prayed, and the Lord put an idea in my head. Daniel, when that bell rings, you're going to run like the wind. And that's what I did. When that bell rang, I was out the door like a racehorse. And I was running for my life. And I remember one of the boys caught up to me. And I was out of wind. I just turned around and says, I don't want to fight you. And I don't know what that little boy saw, but he saw something. And he just, something like turned him around. And he just walked back. And I knew it was the Lord. And you know, that's not recorded here. But let me tell you, that's recorded in my memory. And I share this with my kids, and they know God is real. Beloved, why did God give us records? Why do we share with our children what God has done in our life? To give them hope, to give them confidence, so they don't lose heart that God is real and He's able, isn't He? He's able. And Abraham believed that God is able. When God gave him that promise, he believed it, even though his circumstances were impossible. Yet God is able. And so we learn that God has given us not only the written record, but even ourselves, those of you who have walked with God for years. You know how many answered prayers we've seen in this church? So many. God hears our prayers, not because we're worthy, but because God is faithful. So many answered prayers. And we need to share that with our children. We need to share that with new believers, right? Even new believers, they're like little children. They need to hear what God has done. They need to know God's word. But what does God also do? That's the reason why we give testimonies, right? And so God has given us this. And that's when you go back, if you go back with me to Romans, God has given us this written down for not only Abraham, but for us, who also believe in the Lord, whose righteousness have been imputed on us as well. So Abraham was a great man of faith, wasn't he? But understand that even faith is a gift of God. And Abraham believed that God is able, and he is able. And it's been recorded and written down so that others may read about Abraham and God's faithfulness. Our Lord Jesus, our Lord has given us a lamb, hasn't he? And just like God imputed his righteousness on Abraham, he does the same today, doesn't he? by faith that people who trust in Christ as Savior and Lord can also be redeemed and forgiven? And so, beloved, there's a reason for all of this, to build hope and to strengthen. And you might say, well, what about people that are already saved? It just strengthens our faith, doesn't it? It just strengthens our faith. Our children and even disciples, they need to learn about God's faithfulness, about God's power, about God's mercy. And we need to share how God has been faithful, not only through teaching them the word, but even how God has been faithful to us. Every one of us has a testimony how God has delivered us. And those are great stories. I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, if you just look at Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, that story, they're cast into the furnace. I believe that story. What about you? I believe that. I believe God preserved them. I believe that. I've heard stories even from my grandfather. My grandfather had a story of a man that was threatened. His life was threatened. He was preaching at a certain area, and they told him, this man told him that he's going to come after him. He's going to kill him. And my grandfather told me this story that the man had to walk through a certain place to go to his car, and he kept walking. He walked to his car, and one day that man that threatened him came to the Lord. And he told that man, so what happened? I know that you were threatening me and you were threatening my life. He said, what happened? He said, well, he says, when I saw you walking to your car, there was another man with you. Who was that other man? He says, there was nobody with me. And you see, it was the Lord, wasn't it? And you see, that's something so small, but you know what? It's a true story. There was nobody with him. He was by himself. But yet when the man saw, he saw two people. And so the Lord saved the man's life. True story. I mean, and these things happen. Everybody has a testimony about how God has had mercy on us. And he has, hasn't he? And we have so many written records of these great heroes of faith, don't we? Well, let me just close with this. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's one of the great promises, isn't it? For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. So here's my question to you, beloved. Have you confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you truly believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead? You see, true salvation begins with Christ, doesn't it? It begins with Christ. Jesus is God's divine, holy Son. He's also the Lamb of God. Our Lord God sent Jesus into this world to save sinners. Our Lord Jesus, when he came, he took upon himself the wrath of God when he died on the cross. This is why Christ died, isn't it? He died a substitutionary death, and he was buried, and what happened? On the third day, Christ rose again because of our justification. So let me ask you a very personal question. Are you a disciple of Jesus? You see, you have to be redeemed. Are you a disciple of Jesus? You know, it's funny when people say, well, I believe in Jesus. I don't know if I'm a disciple. Friend, I need you to understand this. That's what true believers are. So let me ask you again, are you a disciple of Jesus? Are you following him? Are you trusting him? Have you repented of your sin? Have you surrendered your life to Christ? And if your answer is like, no, I haven't done that, then friend, you need to really think whether you're saved or not, because this is what a saved person does. They repent. They surrender. Won't you consider confessing Jesus as your Savior today? Won't you consider surrendering your life to Christ and repenting of your sin? Won't you open your heart to Christ? You know, the work's been done, hasn't it? It's been done. It was on the cross. Christ said, "It is finished." We don't have our own righteousness. We need God's righteousness. And we receive that by his grace through faith in Jesus. Well, let's bow our heads in prayer, and I'm going to have Brother Steve come up. Where is Brother Steve? All right. Let's pray. Father, we're just so thankful for your precious word. Lord, when we think about Abraham, we don't realize how he was looked upon from the Jews in the days of Christ and the days of the Apostle Paul. They saw him as a man of righteousness. They saw him as an example of a man of righteousness, yet they don't understand how Abraham received his righteousness. It was by faith in you, Lord. And it wasn't that he had his own righteousness. It was imputed upon him. So, Father, we just pray that you'd help us, dear Father, that you would help us to be men and women of faith. Help us, Father, to draw near to you. And Lord, we just pray that you give us more faith, as Peter asked, that you give him more faith. Help us, Lord, to trust you, especially when everything goes wrong. Help us to trust you, Lord. Help us to obey you. And Father, we just pray that you would keep us close to you, and we ask that you would please help us during this season, dear Father, that you would help us to remember that you have given us a lamb. You have given us a Savior. We ask now for your blessing upon us, and all these things we pray, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. If you don't have a bulletin, raise your hand. We can get one to you. All right. Sunday evening, our pastor is preaching through the book of Acts, be chapter 6, verses 7 through 15, the face of an angel. Also, Christmas cards. You see that our little cubby hole is in the break room. So if you have Christmas cards for church family, bring them and put them in there so that they can get them. It will remain up till the 3rd of January. We have a quarterly business meeting right after the morning service, so please stick around so that you can see how we handle the Lord's business. We'll start 5 minutes after the service ends completely. Praise and prayer Wednesday night, 6:30 p.m. Come join us. We need more prayer warriors. Pastor preaches a short message, and then we have take praise and prayer requests and break up into groups and pray over those. Friday night Bible study, 6:30, December the 18th. We have a little food and fellowship in the break room. And then we come in here and the pastor has a Bible study. So come join us. All are invited. Family Christmas night, Wednesday, the 23rd, the eve before Christmas Eve. So come out and join us. Finger foods. We'll start at 6:30, 7. And then we'll come in here and we'll sing songs and praise the Lord. And our pastor will have a Christmas story. Prayer requests, lift up our church, our ministries, our pastor and his family, replacing the trailer in the back or parking lot, the financial needs of our church, our country, our military, our law enforcement, first responders, and the persecuted church. Please specifically pray for our young men and young women in uniform around the world. It's a hard time to be away from home and family this time of year. It's a, they get awful homesick. I know, I've been there. Friday night special service, that'll be the 30th of December. That will be the eve before New Year's Eve, so we'll be doing the same thing. We'll have a little food and fellowship, and pastor will have a devotional, so come out and join us. Nursery workers needed. If you're interested in participating in that ministry, you can talk to Rose Ozuna. Also, we're trying to help our brother Mario Coronado with his tuition at Master Seminary. So if you can help with that, it would be greatly appreciated. His bill is $2,700, and that's not including textbooks, folks. So we're also seeking volunteers to clean our church. If you're interested in participating in that, you can talk to Miss Elizabeth. And then online giving, you can do that. Go to your computers, follow the prompts, and you can donate to Faith Christian Fellowship. Pastor?
Couple of corrections on that. As you know, Christmas Eve is on the Thursday, and we're going to have a Christmas Eve Eve, which is on a Wednesday. So come on out. We're going to have some finger foods. Then we're coming here, we're going to sing hymns, and I'm going to read the Christmas story, and we just want to have a good time of fellowship. The following Wednesday, not a Friday, following Wednesday is the 30th of December. So that would be our New Year's Eve Eve service, right? Because we don't want you driving around on Christmas Eve. So we'll be here on the following Wednesday, same thing, bring some finger foods. We're going to come. We're going to sing some songs. We'll look for some New Year songs. I don't know what Michael might have an idea of New Year songs. And have a devotional. Thank God for the coming year. And we're going to have a great time. Also, in regards to Mario's tuition, it's a lot higher than we thought it was going to be. So please pray for him. If you can give, great. Please pray for him. It's a hefty bill, and it's probably twice the amount that we expected. So it's not the amount that's on there. So please pray that my dear brother can get through and pay for those classes. You know that he loves the Lord, and we want to help him as a church. All right. Well, let's all stand together for prayer. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Father, thank you that we're able to be here. We're able to come and hear your word. We thank you for the example of Abraham. Lord, he was a man that was just left his home and went to the promised land and was just trusting you. And Lord, he was not a perfect man. And we are so grateful to see that you just guided him and you helped him and you increased his faith. And Father, we are just so grateful. You're so gracious. And Lord, even though we struggle, we know that you're with us. We thank you that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask now that you will bless us, dear Father. And we ask you give us a great week. All these things we pray, we thank you, and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please don't forget, we have a business meeting that's going to be starting in about 5 minutes. So if you can stick around for a business meeting, that'd be great. Thank you. Amen.